Right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow, Isaiah 1:17. And over here is Batman. Because why not? Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. If you do that, you can be Batman, or maybe you can be Elvis. My wife and my daughter love the movie Ocean's 11. Anyone like Ocean's 11? Not the original, not the old Frank Sinatra Rat Pack. That is legit. That's a good movie too, but they're really big on the George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Ocean's 11, Julia Roberts, Andy Garcia. Great! It's a great movie. I love it. There are big holes in the plot, and there's no way that bank robbery would work, but it's a fun movie, you know? It's not a bank robbery, it's a casino heist. There's no way it would work, either way. But it's really cool. It's a fun movie. And because of that movie, Elvis Presley had a hit on the charts again. A remix of A Little Less Conversation, A Little More Action. Isaiah, in this piece of scripture, has God giving us this message straight from the King. A little less conversation, a little more action. Now this beginning of Isaiah, kind of, you know, the first chapter. And when we think of the first chapter of Isaiah, what do we usually think of? We usually think of his call, right? We think of his call story where, you know, he's in the presence of God and the cherubim and seraphim are swirling around and covering up their eyes and covering up their feet. And God says, "Who will I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." And then they touch his lips with a hot burning coal from the fire to purify them. But this message is prophetic for everyone who is gathered in a church building today. I mean, this is a message that wasn't just relevant in Isaiah's day. This is a message that's relevant now. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want mindless, heartless worship. God says, "I am not some narcissist who needs my ego stroked every Sunday morning so that I'll be good to you." I desire that you take care of widows and orphans. I desire that you speak up for the oppressed. And that you take care of my people. In this passage, Isaiah has God telling the folks who are gathered in the temple, "I don't want you playing church, I want you being church." Because the center of gravity of a church's life cycle is inward. We spiral inward. Churches start with a vision. Churches start with a great big hairy idea. Churches start with We want to make a difference to the community that surrounds us. We want to make some kind of change to this neighborhood. We want things to be better all around us. How do we do that? And people sign up to be part of it. People sign up to be part of what God is doing in our neighborhood. And then we get into habits of Sunday morning worship. And Sunday morning worship and making sure we keep the doors open becomes the mission. And when our mission goes from serving the community and embodying God out there to maintenance, we've lost our vision. God doesn't want churches playing church. God doesn't want churches just gathering to worship and not making a difference. God wants churches to make a difference. And I'm going to start on the inside, because it's my belief that when a church grows, it grows from the inside out. We don't just say, all right, here is our vision, here is our mission, here's what we're going to do, and then just do it, and things magically happen. I really wish it worked that way. That would be cool. I could say, hey, you know, let's start a free lunch program for all the school kids who are on free lunches so that we can feed them during the summer. We just gather them and we just say, there's free food over here. Come over at lunchtime. Get a lunch to go. Your church loves you. It'd be great if we could just hit the ground running with a mission like that, wouldn't it? Or if we could just, you know, one day a week, every Wednesday, we open up the sanctuary and say, if you're homeless and you're hungry, come here, we feed you. And just hit the ground running and start with that. And people say, hey, that church is up to something. I'm going to join them. It'd be great if it worked like that. But these things take planning, and they take strategy, and they take transformed lives. These things take a desire to do these good things because of what God has done for us. The measure of a successful church is not how many people there are in the pews, but how our lives have changed because we come here. How have our lives changed because we come to this church? And your own personal answer to that question, how has my life changed because I come to this church, guides what we do out there. Social service agencies take surveys and statistics and census data and all kinds of crazy demographics, and they look at the communities and they say, okay, here's what the community needs, and we will set up a social service program to address those needs. And that's great. That is fantastic. But that's a social service approach to change. We are a church, and we have a church approach to change. And the church approach to change begins with, I started coming to this church, and God changed me. I came to this church after going through a rough divorce, and I needed to be told that I was loved, and that church met my needs. Or I found this church who didn't judge me for being gay. They just surrounded me with love and cared for me. And that changed my life. Or I needed to quit drinking. And my AA groups were great, but I needed something more. And I came to church, and these folks helped me. And my life has changed. I mean, those aren't all me. Those are just examples off the top of my head of how people's lives change as a result of coming to church. Does your life change? Does your outlook change? Does your sense of being loved by something bigger than yourself happen? Does your sense of being in the presence of the divine How does that change you? How does that shape you? How does that mold who you are so that when you go out into the world, you're a transformed human being? And again, that's not a thing that happens overnight. That is a thing that is a process, not an event. And we are all works in progress. We're all works in process. Some of us have only been coming to church for a few months or just a few years, and we're still kind of in spiritual elementary school. And some of us have been coming to church for a long time, and we're in spiritual high school. And some of us have been coming to church forever and are in spiritual graduate school. You know, there's a developmental thing that happens with church and with theology and with spirituality. That changes us and forms us and shapes us and makes us who we are. And how do we put the change that has happened in our personal lives into action out there? I ask that during the next week, during the next couple of months, you reflect on what does church mean to me? Why do I come to church? What is it that keeps me coming back? Because you keep coming back. Something keeps you coming. What is it? What is it that made me feel more connected to God? And that answer is going to be different for everybody. For me, it was having an extended family. It was a sense of belonging. And I walked into that little church in Carrier Mills, Illinois, every Sunday morning, and I belonged, and I felt like people wanted me there. Because, you know, like some of you, I'm sure I was a kid who was bullied and picked on in school. I didn't feel particularly welcome at school by my peers. But the folks at church, they wanted me there. They liked that I was there. They told me how happy they were that I was there. And they gave me a family. And they taught me Sunday school. And they taught me to memorize the books of the Bible in order so that I could just list them off the top of my head. And they taught me how to organize a potluck. They taught me that chicken salad can be served in a lettuce leaf rather than a sandwich. And that little church taught me that it was right next door to the elementary school. Every year on Teachers Appreciation Week, they would throw a salad bar and just invite all the teachers from the school next door to come over and have free lunch. It's just a lunch that they didn't have to think about. And we all looked forward to it. And the guy who had been the principal of my high school forever started coming to my church because of that lunch. And other teachers started coming to my church because we threw them that lunch. And they felt like we cared about them and what they do. For some, it's the music. Music speaks to the soul in a way that a sermon or a scripture can't. Music, with really good, meaningful words, can help you grasp theology of the church in a way that I can't do standing up here teaching doctrine or telling stories. For some, it's learning how to pray. For some, it's just adding structure to their lives, having something to look forward to. But I can tell you that the church has changed my life. And the church has changed my life many times in my life. When I was a kid, it gave me a family and a sense of belonging. When I went through a divorce, it gave me a family aside from my broken family. I came to Seattle. Church gave me a new circle of friends, a new place to belong, a new support system in a place that was strange to me. Connections. How do we translate what church has done for us into action outside of these walls? So we're going to take Elvis' advice here. A little less conversation. That doesn't mean no conversation. That doesn't mean we're going to shut up. That means a little less talking and a little more action. We're going to talk about what matters. And then we're going to do what matters. May our faith stir us into action. May our personal transformation stir us into an invitation to transformation out in the community. May our love and community and connection that surrounds us help us to connect to the people all around us. And may God give us grace when we fail. And prop us back up so we can try again. Because that's who God is. You are loved. You are cared for. And grace, amazing grace, is yours. Let's do our faith. Amen? Amen. As we ponder these things, we're going to sing Walk With Me from the Black Hymnal. And that's